Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have lines available right now at 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Our subject for the month is relationships. How does this basic gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, impact and shape our relationships one with another? And it's quite amazing to see how when we truly get settled in our lives with our relationship with God, how all other relationships change as a result. But the most important relationship that we need to get settled is that one with God.
Yeah,
and God has done everything, right, Richard, to show us that he wants to be in relationship with us, that he is committed to being in relationship with us. Just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is proof enough for that very purpose. But we have a hard time because there's things in our minds that prevent us from really stepping into that relationship with Christ. For example, in the book of Colossians, Paul wrote this, chapter 1, starting in verse 19, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And he's talking about Jesus Christ. And he says, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." So right there we see God's intentions, God's purpose, God's desire. He wants to reconcile all things back to himself, and he has done so through the shed blood of Christ. And then he goes on to say this, "And you..." So God is showing us that he's interested, that he wants a relationship, that he has actively pursued us in Christ. But here's our problem. "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds," because of our evil behavior, because of sin. And that's a part of the human experience. Adam made sure of that.
Yes.
When he and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered into the picture. Sin became a part of our DNA. As a matter of fact, that's our identity apart from Christ, sinner. So because of that, we have some strange thinking about God. We see him as a million miles away. We are hostile toward him in mind because of sins. And so with that kind of thinking, it's hard to really believe that God is interested in a relationship. But when we finally come to that point and say, "Lord, I believe," that's when we receive the reconciliation that God has provided for us in Christ. That's when we experience peace, and that's when we enter into that relationship with God. Now, for this relationship to take place, forgiveness had to occur. There could be no relationship with Christ apart from total forgiveness of sins. So in 1 Peter, Richard, I think there's a very interesting verse there.
Yeah, it's over in 1 Peter chapter 3. Looking on my computer right now, there it is. Verse 18 of chapter 3, and it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins," just one time, "for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." His job, Jesus's job in his suffering and his death and then in his resurrection, was to bring us to God. I mean, that's the kind of initiative God took on our behalf, is to go out there in spite of us and bring us to himself and say, "Would you like to be in relationship with me?"
Yes, indeed. And I think, Richard, that's the part of forgiveness that we so often miss.
Uh-huh.
We just isolate forgiveness. We know we've sinned. We know there's sins out there. That we know there's black marks next to our name, and we want to get those erased. And then once they're erased, we want to go about our own business again. But that's not the purpose that God took away our sins. That's not the reason he sent Jesus. Jesus died in our place in order to bring us to God, to establish this relationship. And that's why it's so vitally important for us to understand that our sins have been taken away once and for all. Because when we know that, we are genuinely free to step into this relationship, to fully embrace the love of God and allow Jesus Christ to live his life through us. So for relationship to occur between God and man, and let's make it personal, for relationship to occur between God and you, and you can say your name right now if you're out there listening, for relationship to occur between God and you, forgiveness had to occur. Forgiveness had to take place. Jesus had to take away your sins. But don't look at it at that as an end in itself. He did so to bring you to God. That's basic gospel. And once we enter into that relationship with God, once we start growing in grace, growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter explains in his second letter, that's when all other relationships will begin to grow and to take shape and reflect the very love of God that he's pouring out into our lives on an individual basis. That's good news, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. And you know, as you're talking, it strikes me that when we're saying you can be in relationship with God, we're not talking about some just, okay, I know his name and he knows me and we talk. That is salvation. Jesus took away sin. And when we enter into a relationship with God, when we accept his invitation, that is nothing less than being born again, indwelt by the Spirit. And now when we talk about relationship, we're not kidding.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And boy, we just can't hammer that truth enough. I think back on my kids when they were young. There was a book that they wanted us to read every single night. It was called Good Night Moon. And it's like, really, you want us to read that again? Yeah, Daddy, read it again. And so, you know, we might read through that two or three times in one night, and then the next night repeat it, and then the next night. And I think this story of what God has done for us in Christ is a story that we all like to hear time and time again. And every time we hear it, it deepens within our hearts. It deepens within our souls. We truly start to get it in our minds that this truly is about relationship, that God's work in Christ reconciled us to him and brought us to God so that we could grow in our knowledge of him, so that we could experience his love in every single moment of the day, and that we could express that love out to others.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We certainly welcome you to the program today. If you have questions that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, we invite you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. And before we go to the phone lines, I want to tell our listeners, Richard, about our offer this month. It's a book that I wrote a couple of years ago called Love Is. It is a in-depth examination of the definition of love that Paul gives to us in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. If you want to know the love of God, exactly how he loves you, how he expresses that love to you, this passage gives the story. And all of those words that Paul uses in his definition are present tense active verbs. Love is not just a feeling or an emotion. For God, agape love is an action that he takes on our behalf for our good, for our benefit. That's what we need in life, and that's what this book will help connect you to, the love of God in very real and practical ways. And we certainly want to put that in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Just go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. There is a big icon right in the middle of the page that says Love Is. Just click that, follow all of the instructions, and then request your copy, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we can. Again, the offer is a book, Love Is.
So let's go to our phone lines and talk with Brad, calling from O'Fallon, Missouri, listening on the internet. Good friend Brad, how you doing, Brad?
Hello, Bob and Richard. Just one thing real quick. Basic Gospel Ministry is, my life. And I've been affiliated one way or another with Basic Gospel since 1987. In recent years, much closer. But I just want to tell anybody that's listening new or has just come on board, just hang with us, because this thing that Bob and Richard are talking about today, relationship, man, I'm telling you, it can be real. And I was telling Richard earlier today, everyone, and this is strictly my opinion, I don't want anybody to go and say somebody said this or whatever, but this is my opinion. Years ago, I came to a point in my life where I got tired of just going on what man or what pastors or teachers or books told me to think. And I really just wanted more than that. And I prayed to God one day. I'm not exactly how long ago it was, but I asked Father in Jesus' name if he would allow me to see myself just as he sees me. Not what other people tell me it's all about, not what other people tell me it should be, but the God of the Bible who inspired and wrote the Bible, please allow me to see myself as you see me. And he answered that prayer. And what came along with that is still growing into magnificent understanding. I now not only can see I can see others as God sees me. I can forgive others as God has forgiven me, just like he tells me. Love others as God loves me. And my relationship, man, I used to doubt. I used to go through times where I didn't really understand what I had in this new creation. But now, and it gets stronger and more solid every single day. But I can honestly tell you, it's all doubt is gone. I know how much God loves me. I know how much Jesus is walking and living his life in and through me. I understand what it is to rest and trust. And I understand, because I can rest and trust in God, that my body can be a living sacrifice according to Romans 12. But I didn't always have that. But because of the Word of God, and I'm telling you folks, Basic Gospel, for years and years and years, what you're hearing today, I heard back in 1987. I heard it in 1990. I heard it in 2001. It has never, ever changed. But quite frankly, I think it's just getting better and better and better. And
well,
I
that's
just
what
can't
it's supposed to, that's what a relationship, Brad, with Christ is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a growing experience. I married Gina, my wife, 23 years ago, and we were in love, and gosh, the wedding was awesome, the honeymoon was just great in that first year. But our love for each other is so much deeper today than it was back then. I don't want to go back to those early years. As good as they were, they are not as good as what I have with her today. And that's what a relationship with Christ is all about. You know, we get to know him when we first come to Christ. We know him as our father, and Christ is our elder brother, and we understand there's a relationship there. But we're not 100% sure of just who he is and all of his qualities and characteristics. But as we abide and continue to walk by faith and trust and receive his ongoing gift of grace, we grow in our understanding of him, and then we really know him. We don't just know that we're related. We really know him. We know what he's all about, and we see his qualities, his characteristics, starting to make a difference in us. So when we realize the gospel message was that work of God on our behalf to bring us back to him, to reestablish a relationship, to impart to us new life, that's when Christianity starts to really blossom and grow in us. So that's why it's so important that we really get a hold of this good news of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, Brad, as always, it's so nice to hear from you.
Hey, if I'd gotten a call yesterday, I was very blessed and fortunate, celebrated our 43rd year of marriage.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations, man. Yes.
And it's getting better.
Excellent.
And I thank you guys. I love you guys, and love all the listeners. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, all right. Brad. Well, let's go out to Pam, calling from Sacramento, California, listening on KFIA. Hello, Pam. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, guys. I just have a question about the way the scriptures were written. And what I wanted to ask was, you know, when Paul wrote his salutations in the epistles to the churches, he is very elongated, you know, grace to you through the blood of Jesus Christ and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of verbiage within the scriptures where, you know, Christ may say, dost thou not know thus and so. My question is, did people really speak to each other in that fashion on a day-to-day basis then, or is this jargon or verbiage the result of how the scriptures were interpreted through the King James Version in the 17th century? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Well, thank you, Pam. Thanks for your call, and I really like that question. And Richard, that gets down to a translation issue, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You know, the folks back in that day, they spoke Greek. There were other languages that they spoke, but Greek was the primary way of communication, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And in fact, when people wrote letters to each other, this is how they talked. They may not talk this way to each other on the street, but when they wrote letters back and forth, and there are hundreds of letters, thousands of letters that have been, you know, found in various, you know, archaeological sites and all that dating from that time period, and they all have this kind of greeting. And to us, it sounds a little over the top and flowery, but that's the way they talk to each other. How we translate it, of course, is always a problem because various languages don't always have direct equivalent statements in each other, you know, direct idioms and all of that. But, the way Paul wrote these letters, the way Peter started his, and John started his, that was very common for that time period in our Earth's history. That's the way people wrote to each other.
Indeed, and Paul certainly was pretty long-winded in his writing. I mean, there are places where his sentences just go on and on and on and on. And
yeah.
And sometimes that's why it's, you know, you're reading along and a chapter break seems like it's in the wrong place.
Uh-huh.
They're just picking spots to try to break it up so that we can kind of know where we are in the letter itself. I think that's the way they wrote. There was some sort of formality to it. But there are, you know, there are translation issues. You know, the King James Version, that was Old English. That had a style and flavor of its own. As we've moved out of that kind of King James era into modern times, you know, our language has changed. And that's why some of the newer translations have come on the market. And they're trying to take the Greek text and put it into common language of the day. And so that's exciting. We have translations available to us that are easy to read, easy to understand, easy to follow, because translators have done amazing work.
Yes, they have.
To pick words and phrases that really convey the actual thoughts in the Greek text, but do so in a way that we can understand.
Yes, yes, it's great. Well, let's go out and talk with George in New Jersey, and he's listening on WMCA. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Richard. I just want to know if you can give me any suggestions on what I can do about a severe lust problem.
Well, the biggest issue that you have with lust is that you get to be completely focused on the lust instead of focused on truth. All sin problems start from a fundamental disbelief at some level about God, who he is, how much he loves us, what he's willing to do for us, in us, and through us. And Satan loves nothing better than to convince us that on the one hand, if we think a certain way, and in the case you're talking about, if we think in a lustful way, we will be more fulfilled, we will feel better, we will do whatever. And we know that as soon as that happens, that it just leaves you empty. You never can get enough. And then we start feeling guilty. And then Satan says, well, you should not have been doing that. And I say, I know, I should have been doing that. And we find ourselves wrestling and arguing with Satan instead of going to the Word of God, going to Jesus, and letting truth displace the error. We think these things because we've gotten into the habit of thinking them. And so the only way out of that habit is to replace it with a new habit. That habit is Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit's job in us as children of God to renew our minds and to push out the stuff that we have picked up over time in our lives. And he actually will do that. It takes time for some people. Other people, it happens overnight. God knows what you need, and his grace is sufficient to everything you're going through and the habits you're trying to break, the new habits that he's trying to replace them with.
Hey, Richard,
yeah.
Let me ask you a question in light of that. Do these lusts ever go away while we're still in these bodies of flesh?
No. We've got something called indwelling sin that lives in us. It's really not me, like Paul said in Romans 7, it's not me, it's the sin that lives in me. And as long as we have these physical bodies, we are going to be subject to these kinds of thoughts. It's terribly frustrating. I mean, it drives you crazy when you've got this stuff going on. I mean, we've talked about this before. What is the typical thing that happens? We've been studying the Bible, having time with God, and you start to pray, oh, Lord, this is just the greatest thing I just learned. And out of the blue, terrible, terrible thoughts come into our heads. What are we going to do? Well, we got to recognize the flesh, and there's a battle between the Holy Spirit and the flesh, and we don't have to give in to the desires of the flesh. We're going to have them, but we don't have to give in to them.
Yeah. So God is calling us to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And George, let us put you on hold. We have a little resource called Living Life on the Edge. We would love to send that to you. It really addresses this conflict that we have with the desires of the flesh, with lust, with temptation. And I think it will give you some practical handles on how to deal with that on an everyday basis. But we certainly appreciate your call today. In line with that, want to remind our listeners of our offer, book Love Is. How does God love you? How does he express that love to you? Well, this little book answers those questions. And as I work through 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, those things really started making a difference in my life, and I want you to experience that as well. So it's Love Is. It's available for a gift of any amount. This month, the Basic Gospel. All the information is at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, Richard, we're almost out of time on today's broadcast.
Yeah, in these last couple of seconds, what I'd like to do is welcome all those people who are on oneplace.com. We just went on yesterday. People are listening. We love this new opportunity, and we can hardly wait. We'll see you Monday.